95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Stepping off the boat and heading to the stage, Bravo Below Deck Mediterranean star Captain Sandy Yawn is setting up her newest adventure with her Lead Her Ship tour. The renowned super yacht captain has over 30 years of international maritime experience. From the glass ceilings and near fatal accidents on land to pirates and fires at sea, Captain Sandy is joining me today to share her story. Hi, Captain Sandy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to talk about the tour.
So you have an amazing story to tell, and that's what your show is about. You're taking this opportunity to share your story with people.
That's right. You know, a lot of people think what they see on TV is, you know, kind of like, I guess, how I showed up in life, but it's not that at all. So I have some surprises for people. I had a life before Below Deck Med, and somewhat of a sordid life before I became a yacht captain. And these are the stories I'm going to share with people. I'm also infusing music because the power of music has the ability to change a mood, change your mind, help you make decisions. And so I really bring a lot of music into when I'm speaking, and maybe a little bit of DJing on stage.
Oh, okay. A little hidden talent you have.
Yes, and also a lot of audience participation. I will bring guests up from the audience to join me on stage. So that's part of the plan as well, to interact with the audience because they're there to get to know me. Instead of having special guests, the special guests will be from the audience.
Now, tell me a little bit about you. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I'm from Bradenton, Florida. I grew up there. I always share this. I got kicked out of high school. I didn't go to college. I was one of those kids that was lost in life, and through experiences and people believing in me, I was able to get a fresh start. And that's when this is part of the storytelling. That's when I really got it together, and I had one person believe in me, and that's all it took. And that's sort of part of this tour is about believing in each other and, you know, lifting each other up, especially now. It's like a bittersweet beginning. Because it was through all those experiences that I was able to, my character was formed through all of those experiences. And that's what you see on television, but you don't see a big side of me, which is very playful. When I was deemed a micromanager in my first season, my sister was watching the show and she goes, she's not a micromanager. She just wants to ride the banana. Because she knows me, you know, when it was like, get the toys, get the banana out, do this, you know, it was like, because I want to ride all the toys, and I do.
So there's a fun side of you that people don't necessarily get to see.
That's right. They see the serious side. You know, the show has done an amazing job. Bravo's done a great thing to show people in the world that there's a maritime industry that really needs people. Like, we're a deficit of crew. We're a deficit of shipyard workers, you know, electricians. Carpenters, plumbers make 25% more in a shipyard, you know, and that's a trade. And these shipyards invest in people, as well as if you want to be in sales. All these jobs are open. So I will have QR codes to sign up for maritime school or to meet with a shipyard. Some, it depends on where the tour is. I will engage some of the maritime industry people to come and speak to people after because I get thousands of emails. How do I get in the industry? If you want to get on TV, I suggest you go to casting because we don't hire the crew. But there's a whole career for people out there in the maritime industry, which encompasses so many trades. We don't have tradesmen anymore. And that's a part of this tour, is to talk about how I got started in the maritime industry, what it did for my life, and having people there to help people start in the industry if that's something they want to do.
You said you didn't go to college, but maritime school, is that not considered a college?
No, it's not. It is a trade. When I was a kid, we used to go to vocational and learn a vocation.
Sure.
So it's like, it's a vocation. Maritime, there is a maritime academy like West Point, but that's very different, isn't it? That's military. The yacht maritime schools, I went to maritime professional training in Fort Lauderdale, and it was a small school. They're massive today. And there are so many maritime professional schools out there for people that want to get into the yacht world, but also the recreational boating world, like Sea Ray, Marine Max. I started on small boats. I started cleaning boats. And that's really what I'm going to share with people, is my kind of like beginning to where I got on Below Deck. And Below Deck, such a small part of my life when you think about all the things I've done in my life. But people only see me as Captain Sandy. I want them to know who Sandy is, who Sandy was, and how Sandy got to where she is today.
People are fanatical about Below Deck. How did you get involved with the show? How did that all come about?
You know, I didn't seek it. It landed in my lap through a producer, a mutual friend or a mutual colleague shared, hey, she knew a woman captain. You need a woman captain. The producer Googled me, and then they interviewed me. And I thought, at first I wasn't going to do the show because I thought it would ruin my career. But in fact, it's helping people. So many people said, don't do the show to ruin your career. But I thought, it landed in my lap. I love God. Spared my life so many times, and people will hear those stories as well. And I casted for it. They liked me, and next thing you know, I'm running a boat for them.
So outside of the show, give me a glimpse of life at sea.
Life at sea is harder than Below Deck. Life at sea, we begin with the Cannes Film Festival, Monaco Grand Prix, the med season, and you work until September. Back-to-back charters. There are no days off. That's why people save their money, because they're not spending it. They're working 24/7. And that's life at sea. But the positive side is you save the money, you meet incredible people, you're shoulder to shoulder with these billionaires and millionaires. You meet so many different people from different countries. You learn different cultures, different languages. You visit so many places that you would never do normally. And even if you worked in a shipyard or in sales, it's the same. You travel together. So where there's a boat show, there's everybody that's in the industry. It's pretty cool. And I don't know, I have friends all over the world because of the maritime industry. It's incredible.
I briefly spoke to your partner, Leah, when she answered the phone. Did you meet her through the maritime industry?
No, she came across the show and sent me a message and goes, oh, my God, congratulations on the show. Many blessings. And because I love God, I was like, many blessings stood out to me. So I reached out. I saw that she could sing. I was doing an I Believe tour at the time. I thought, maybe I have her open the show. And then we met for the first time and fell in love. But prior to that was 1 month. Because I'm sober, and I went to my sponsor and I said, hey, I want to meet someone now. It had been 2 years. And she goes, okay, write down everything I wanted in a person. I wrote, they have to love music and all the things I wanted, but I forgot to leave where they live on the list. That's when I met Leah. She had written me in June. 6 months later, I looked at my messages. And it was a month later after I wrote the list. That's when I met her.
What's the scariest thing that happened to you out at sea?
I had a fire in the Red Sea, and I've been chased by pirates. There's many scary moments. I don't have just one. I've had like 12 fires because boats and salt don't mix. 12 volts and salt create fire. A lot of fires, pirates. So Red Sea was a big one for me.
Did the pirates get on the ship?
No, never. I've never been attacked. I called the Coast Guard, and then I called the U.S. warship. I called the U.S. warship, and then I called the Coast Guard. I was chased by pirates in Windward Passage, which is between Cuba and Haiti. And Coast Guard's like, we had 90 attempts this month, and we're on our way. So we zigzagged our course and kept our lights on, and the pirates knew that we knew they were coming. But, most pirates just want to, in the Red Sea, they hold you for ransom, so an insurance company pays. But when you go through Cuba and Haiti, Windward Passage, they just want your tender, because we're towing, like, $500,000 to $1 million boats behind us. They just want to come and disconnect the line and take the boat.
I love how you're talking about it. Like, it's just, I mean, it is your everyday life, but I'm like, pirates? I thought that was fake.
Yeah. No, it's not. And you'd be surprised how many of these ships get attacked. It's a business. So a pirate is a thief, right? So it's a thief at sea is a pirate.
Right.
So they're just thieves at sea.
Yeah. What's one misconception about being at sea?
That it's easy. That what you see on Below Deck is what it's like all the time, and it's not. We're in rough seas. You have to rely on your team. It's the team that carries us through. It's just not me, the captain. So when I hire a crew outside of the show, because I don't hire the crew on the show, I hire for character, because character trumps skills every time. Because you can teach a skill set, but you can't teach someone character. They have to learn that, right? Through life lessons. So the character is what I seek. And when you have a character, a boat full of people who have character and morals and values, and who are there because they have the passion for going to sea, then you know you can rely on them if you have to get in a lifeboat. And I always say this, who would you want in your lifeboat? If you're watching Below Deck, who would you want in your lifeboat? And that's the way I go to sea. Who would I want in my lifeboat? Mm. That's how I choose my people.
In your show, Lead Her Ship, you talk about your addiction and recovery. Can you just give us, I know you want to save most of it for your show, but just give me a little bit about what you went through and what you talk about in the show.
I was lost. I mean, addiction runs in my family. My uncle died from it. My grandfather died from it. Alcoholism. I discovered a Quaalude on a bus. I always say I took the magic bus ride because my neighbor gave me a 714. People were like, what's that? What's that? And I'm like, Google it. It's a Quaalude. But, you know, and that's how it started. And then I got on this merry-go-round, and it was like the merry-go-round. And all my friends were advancing in life, and I was stuck in the same place. I remember, I'll never forget, someone laughed at me. And they go, you're still doing what we did when we were teenagers? Mm. And I was in my 20s, and I went, wow, and they laughed. And I'll never forget that feeling. You know, many arrests later, I finally got it. This is part of the tour. I'll talk about that. But it's kind of funny, and I do a lot of corporate speaking, and they have no idea. So I like to do the surprise factor. And then I got sober, and when I got sober, it changed my life. And I did exactly what they told me to do because my decision-making never worked for me. So I had to allow someone else to help me make decisions. And it's okay to ask for help. And I'll never forget, I always talk about this. I had an owner I worked for. He had a big desk, and he was the smartest guy I knew, and, you know, very, very wealthy. And I worked on his boat. And I remember walking into his office one day, and I heard him on a telephone call say, I don't know, take 15 minutes and educate me. That was the biggest relief I ever had in my life, knowing that I didn't have to know everything or act like I know everything. I could say, take 15 minutes and educate me. And I think there's a misconception out there that it's okay not to know. And the cool thing is have the character to say, I don't know, take 15 minutes and educate me, or 10. And that's all part of it. And that was part of the growth in my personal life. You know, I'm not religious. I was forced to go to church when I was a kid, but someone's always saved my soul. I have been in countless car crashes, motorcycle crashes, kidney cancer, heart attack, you name it. I've experienced it, and I have lived. So I believe there's a God. So I believe in God. And I talk to God like he's my friend. It's like, hey, dude, and there's a Denzel Washington, 7 minutes. Leah showed me this. It's called God First. It was commencement speech, I think he did in 2004 or 2005. It was amazing. And they shortened it. And it's such a cool speech. And I always send it out to people because it gives direction. And he gives you tools to use. And the biggest takeaway from the tour will be how music can impact your life, how music can help you make a decision or change your mind or change your mood, you know. And so music is really the driver of the show for me, the takeaway.
How are you bringing music into the show?
Well, when I can have some live music, I bring in live music. Otherwise, I put a playlist together and I talk about why the song's important to me. And I encourage people, you know, to have a QR code of a playlist they can take that I have. And I also encourage people to buy the music and not stream it because the artists work so hard. What would we do without music on the planet? And these people work so hard to create music for us. And I wish I could sing. I wish I could play an instrument, but I'm not that talented, you know. So for these talented people, that's their passion. I go on iTunes or I buy the song. I don't just pay $10 a month to stream it. I also want to be, what I say is what I do, right? So I don't want to be a talker, not a doer. In fact, when I went to Hollywood, I went, oh my God, these people are all talkers. In the maritime industry, you're a doer or you're done. You're out. You know, we don't just talk, and no decisions get made. We're taught to do. This is what we talked about, so take action. I'm like, oh, okay, or you're fired. And that's the business.
And you're coming to the Philadelphia area. You're going to be at the Keswick Theater in Glenside on Saturday, April 9th. How can people get tickets if they're interested in seeing your show?
Yeah, you go to Ticketmaster or go to my website, to CaptainSandryYon.com, and follow me on Instagram at CaptainSandryYon. But yeah, so CaptainSandryYon.com is where the tickets are, or Ticketmaster.
What do you personally love most about your job?
Oh, my God, is inspiring people. I love going to sea and making a crossing and seeing the Milky Way in a full moon. And you go, oh, my God. And when I look back, I go, the past I had to where I am today, to be able to drive a boat, a massive yacht, into the ocean, into no, you know, in, where there's no land in sight, and charge isn't cool, is really cool. But the best part is to show people that they, too, can do this, that with my background, you will see how I made it through life, and I became a yacht captain. And then the show found me. I didn't seek it.
Are you still going to sea?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding me? I will never retire. I will always go to sea. Even doing the show, I go to sea. You know what I mean? Like, the show's only so many days, you know, in the month. But, yes, I love it. And our industry is in dire need of people. So that's the biggest thing for me, is to be able to pay that forward and invite some maritime industry people to come in. And if it's in the same town, to speak to people and help them sign up. And a lot of shipyards, you know, it's an apprenticeship. So you go work, you get paid, and you're learning.
When is the next time you're going out?
Well, I'm going to Florida on the 3rd. I'll probably go on a boat while I'm there. I won't go like on a trip.
Okay.
I'll go boating.
What's the most beautiful place you've been to or you've seen from the yacht?
I get that a lot, and it's everywhere. It depends on what you want. The Mediterranean is beautiful. Italy, France, Spain, Greece. It's absolutely stunning. I don't have a favorite place. The Caribbean is incredible. The Bahamas, Florida is incredible. The Northeast, anywhere I can go on a boat is the most beautiful place I've been.
Have you ever been to Montauk, New York?
Oh, yes. That's incredible. I love Montauk.
So I grew up going there, vacationing there, and my brothers and I take our kids there every summer, and it's absolutely beautiful. But some of the yachts that come into there are gorgeous. I mean, we'll rent, you know, a small little boat, and we'll kind of drive around some of the marinas to look at the yachts.
Yes, exactly. And I love the boating in the Hamptons, because you can still go boating if it's blowing a gale offshore. So if it's really rough offshore, you can go, you can get to Montauk from Sag Harbor, East Hampton, without going out to sea. You know, it's actually a really cool place to boat. I always tell people, I'm like, oh, it's really beautiful. So many beautiful beaches there, places to anchor. It's really spectacular. And then it's a short run to Connecticut, Mystic, or Watch Hill, or you go over to Newport, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard. It's all there. It's so close.
And so beautiful, I know.
That's where I grew up boating. I grew up boating in the Northeast.
Oh, okay.
Up the coast, yes. That's why I'm a good boat driver, because the current rips. You learn how to run a boat in a current, you know, like... That's exactly why.
Well, my 10-year-old has expressed interest. He said he wants to take boating lessons, he keeps telling me. So how old do they have to be to take some sort of lesson or class? Yeah,
10 years, you can take, there are classes for them, definitely, I'm sure, in Montauk. Anywhere there's water, there's classes for kids. They can learn. I don't know the age, but to work in an industry, you have to be of age to work.
Right. Before you go, if you could give our listeners one bit of advice, what would you say to them?
I would say, if you have a passion and a dream, follow that passion. Don't give up, because it's easy to do something when everything's, you know, laid out for you. It takes real work. Just don't give up. Follow that passion and support each other. Be supportive. Support each other. Encourage people. That would be it. Follow your passion. Don't give up. No matter how hard the work is, sometimes you got to take a left, and that's okay.
Captain Sandy, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
For more information and tickets to Captain Sandy's show, Lead Her Ship, you can visit her website. It's CaptainSandyYawn.com, and yawn is spelled Y-A-W-N. And if you missed any part of Captain Sandy's interview, it will be available as a podcast tomorrow morning on our website, 957benfm.com. On the left-hand side, you see shows. Click Her Story, and all of my podcasts are listed right there. Thanks again for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your weekend.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.